chance to get
Jonesy, WFMU East Orange, WXHT Mount Hope, worldwide on the web, www.wfmu.org/Jones. Let's see. This is our...
What hour is this, Ken?
81, 82?
You don't know either? So it's not just me, huh?
Mm-mm.
I thought it was just me. Well, I've been on the air here since 9 a.m. on Friday, May 25th, and it's now Monday night, May 28th, after 8 p.m.
Hour 84.
84th yeah. hour.
84.
Yeah. Heading into hour 84.
Wow.
How about that?
You are a mighty, mighty man.
I feel pretty mighty. And we have with us here another one of our revolving door of special guests. Chris Butler of The Waitresses and Tin Huey. Hi, Chris.
Hi, Glenn. How you doing?
I'm doing well.
Yeah, you look remarkably fantastic for a human wreck.
I am a human wreck, and I think that's why people listen.
Well, you know, it's part of your charm. Just seeing if you are, well, you are the last man standing, but now you're probably going for maybe the longest time without sleep. I don't know, man.
No, that's a real long time, I think.
Okay, 11 days? Oh, let's not go crazy.
It's probably even longer than that.
Well, I was riding by on my bicycle to see if you were still on the air, and I got buttonholed by station manager Ken, because I'm in the Guinness Book, too.
That's right, we're in the fellowship together.
Guinnessians.
Right.
And as an unofficial capacity, I'd like to welcome you to this dubious honor.
Why, thank you. Let's shake hands on that.
Okay.
We both. Uncle Floyd is in the Guinness Book.
Uncle Floyd
for the longest piano playing, continuous piano playing, at 24 hours. He did it in total, at the PAL Club or something like
no
that.
No kidding. Mm-hmm. Well, the book is just chock full of talented folks.
Yes, isn't that great? Three people from the state of New Jersey.
You are going to get a really nice scroll from the Guinness people.
They give you a scroll.
They give you a nice, they go. They don't give you a frame, but they give you a scroll.
How long does it take them to get you to approve you?
Well, I think for you, it's going to be pretty quick, the authentication process. You might have to make 3 or 4 phone calls to get your darn scroll. It takes a minute.
Really?
But it's going to be nice.
I would think it would take a long time to get the approval because there's so much material to go through with such a long broadcast.
That's true, but look at all the evidence. They have this preponderance of evidence. I mean, you've got witnesses and webcam and, mm-hmm. and of course, your trustworthy self saying yes. that it was so.
And the media.
And the media.
Saying that it was so.
That it was so.
So it's so.
Darn it. You've got authentication.
So maybe I should stop now so I can get my certificate quicker.
a holiday.
It's a holiday. Good
so
point.
BFD.
Good point. So I might as well keep on going.
That's right.
So you hold the record for longest song?
Longest pop song, yeah. 69 minutes.
And how does that work?
With great difficulty.
Did they have a song that was the longest before you?
Here's the way it works. I had not planned to try and get a Guinness record. I just wanted to do this long song as a joke. I sent it to it after I did it, and I said, look, I think I did this. Can you authenticate it? And they said, no, that's your job. So I had to send them information.
You had to find out if there was a song that was longer?
Exactly. I had to go to musicologist. I had to prove my point, and then they vetted up. They checked out my information that I gave them.
So it was a new category.
It's a new category, right. Mm-hmm. And so it's not in every book. It's in the, I think I'm still holding this. It's in the great database of Guinness stuff.
Yeah, I found out that not everything is in the book.
No.
So when we finish, I plan on having the final photograph taken with Guinness beers in our hands.
Exactly.
Because then it's
that'll be in the book, you know, the ad or something.
Then we'll get right in the book, hopefully.
Yeah, you got to manage your career here.
That is good thinking there, right?
Yeah, you got to do that. I did the same thing.
Did you really?
Yeah, I had a picture taken with a Guinness.
You wrote the whole song on Guinness, as a matter of fact.
Oh, completely. No other beverages consumed the entire process.
Now, did you set out to write a song and it became a 69-minute song?
Exactly.
And then you decided to pursue that?
Yeah. The idea was to just do a song with like a lot of repeats at the end, and then I kept getting more and more verses. And I kept thinking, well, wouldn't it be funny to try and fill a whole CD of these verses? And pretty soon I had, actually it's 75 minutes long, I had to cut it down to fit down on a CD.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So if anyone does challenge you, all you have to do is
I've got the director's cut.
Version.
I've got the director's cut available, man.
So they best, if they decide to beat you
don't
by
mess
one
with
minute,
me. Don't mess
they
with
best
me.
Beat you by a long margin.
That's right. Same way, I believe this is the strategy that you were following.
Yes, that is the strategy I intend.
Yes.
Besides, I'm having such a great time doing it. I wish I never had to sleep again.
Sleep is highly overrated, isn't it?
It seems so now that I'm on this bender.
Right.
It's really fun. I mean, you feel different.
Yeah, and plus you get people taking care of you, which is really nice.
Yes, well, that's good, too. I mean, that's one of the reasons it feels different.
And you always have a built-in, like, reason for being irresponsible.
Yeah. When I all afternoon, I was talking like a retard on the air, and
people
I had a built-in
excuse. Yeah, people understood.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't have to, like, consume anything for this to happen, either.
No, and I feel like I've consumed things.
Right,
actually.
Right.
That's the strange part.
So this is, we were discussing whether this is, what you're experiencing now is either a reaction from sleep deprivation or a reaction from substance deprivation.
Well, I did drink beer every single night, and I stopped drinking beer last Sunday so that I can get it slightly out of my system before I started this because I was scared.
Well, that's all kinds of interesting.
And so now it's been 8 days since I drank.
I don't know. You know, you do have a reputation to uphold here.
I know.
So, okay.
I might be ruined. This might ruin me.
Oh, my God, no. Well, something gained, something
lost. Yeah, that's true. That's a good philosophy. Did you make that up?
I learned it from a guy on the radio.
I learn everything I know from guys on the radio.
I learned everything I know from this radio station.
Really?
Because it's a great radio station.
It is a great radio station.
Yes. And you've just made it greater.
Thank you. It was a lot of fun. It is a lot of fun now. That's why I haven't stopped.
I know. You just keep rolling. I think what we should do is maybe get back to the music, and I should again say congratulate you, thank you,
and welcome to
for
the
letting
club.
Me be on. Yeah, welcome to the club.
Okay, well, thanks again.
Cheers, John.
Chris Butler of The Waitresses, and I always love The Waitresses' music. I'm
thank
sure you've
sir.
Heard that a lot, and maybe you don't like to hear that. I know sometimes people
oh, it's
don't.
It's nice. It's nice.
And also Tin Huey.
Yeah.
What are you doing musically currently?
I play drums with Richard Lloyd
uh-huh.
from television.
Oh, really? So do you play when he plays at Manitoba's every week?
Yeah.
Are you part of it?
Yeah.
I'll have to come over and see you.
Please do.
He's been playing quite often there.
Yeah.
I thought about dropping in.
Well, I think that we're going to start, we're going to go on the road for a little bit, and then I think we're going to resume doing some playing in New York at the middle to end of July.
Mm-hmm.
So we will let you know.
I will catch you then, and we will we'll have to have a drink because I won't be
I think I know what that drink is going to be.
Yes, we will share a Guinness together.
Yes, we shall.
And then we shall make it official. Hopefully, I will have my scroll with me by then.
We can compare scrolls.
And we can invite Uncle Floyd for that.
Yes, we can. We can have the All-Jersey Scroll Night
at
Manitoba's.
Yes, that sounds like a capital idea. Who knows? Might be able to pack the joint with that kind of
you never
promotion.
Know. Well, Manitoba's is kind of small.
It
three
is
people
a small
would
place.
Fill it up pretty good.
Thanks again, Chris.
Congratulations, Glenn.
Thank you. It does feel like an honor.
By the way, what radio station are we on?
We are on WFMU East Orange, WXHD Mount Hope, and worldwide on the web, www.wfmu.org. And I happen to have some Chris Butler music up next. What do you know? What a coincidence. Jim Price chose Chris Butler's The Devil's
Glitch, which is the short version of that really long song. So
what
this is the
really?
Highly edited.
That's a serious coincidence.
It's a serious coincidence.
Okay.
You might think there were radio elves at work.
So is this 5 minute and 6 seconds? Is this the 5 minutes you cut out?
No, this is the trunk.
I mean, why like let it go to waste?
That would have been better. That would have been better. No, this is the short and tidied up version.
Okay, well here it is, Chris Butler and the Devil Glitch.
You got it, buddy.
Sometimes you can fix something by just being a prick, winning by intimidation. Sometimes you can fix something by just lifting your skirt. It's the ultimate distraction. I poke a button, I want action. Let's hear some gears and see some smoke. No dilly-dally, move your honey. This is the age of go for broke. Sometimes you can fix something by just kissing some ass, if you don't mind humiliation. Sometimes you can fix something by just smoking a pipe, academic contemplation. So pathetic, no mechanic, no steady eye, no magic touch, no screwdriver, Baldeen hammer, and Mr. Fix-It's gonna lunch. Not personal, yeah, personal. What did I ever do to you? No crap from contraptions, just do what I tell you to do. Sometimes you can fix something by just blaming your mom. Everybody loves a victim. Something by just cracking a joke. Humor is greasy lubrication. Sometimes you can fix something by just cooking the books. Wealth is all about perceptions. Sometimes you can fix something by just smoking a joint. Stoner free association. Yard worthless, no tweezer Jesus in the house. Yeah. So desperate, so dependent, pay any price to dope it out. I want genius, I want a sus, the perfect clutch, the Devil Glitch. Oh, Hosanna, sock and Messiah, the only
only Jesus worth it. Hey, sometimes you can fix something by just using your head. Go to experts, get opinions. Sometimes you can fix something by just being polite. Trust in reason and persuasion. Sometimes you can fix something by just leaving alone. Let it stew in isolation. Sometimes you can fix something by just holding a grudge. Revenge is such a cool sensation. Sometimes you can fix something by just changing its name. Redefine the situation. Sometimes you can fix something by just running away. Avoid a mess of confrontation. Sometimes you can fix something by just taking a stand. But that's an awesome obligation. Sometimes you can fix something by just starting a war. Everybody at attention. Sometimes you can fix something by just dancing all night. Answers come out of exhaustion. Sometimes you can fix something by just telling a lie. Screw them with misinformation. Sometimes you can fix something by just taking a walk. Take a break, take a vacation. Sometimes you can fix something by turning the other cheek. That's what they tell you in religion. Sometimes you can fix something by just ripping it apart. Maybe the damn thing wants attention. Sometimes you can fix something by just smacking it around. It's a form of education. Sometimes you can fix something by just giving up.
Jonesy.
That works for you, I know. So that's what we'll do.
Jim Price came up with a wonderful song for me to take advantage of the psychedelic feeling that I've received from being up so much for so long. I Am the Walrus by the Beatles.
I'm crying. I'll find stuff I think to Edmund Allen Duff. He's united on the British Council. Oh, I'm
serviceable villain.
Jonesy. The Great Gig in the Sky. Pink Floyd.
Thank you.
Jonesy. The man who wouldn't leave. The man who doesn't think straight. The man who has people handling him at all times, putting forks full of food in front of him. And he without even like reaching my arm out to take the fork, I just open my mouth. Friedman feeds me. Lisa nurses me. Well, not nurses, but is my nurse. And Jim Price provides me with music. And provides me with great music as well. This is a lot of fun. And they keep finding guests. Like, they keep grabbing people off their bicycles, pulling them in and putting them in a chair in front of a microphone to talk to.
Who are you?
I don't think I'll ever have this much fun again. Flashlight by Parliament.
Red light. Everybody's got a chance.
under the sun, 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 under the sun.
This is Cheryl Lynn, Got to Be Real.
Bye.
I bet Jonesy's got a lot more energy than some of you. I bet he got a lot more energy than a lot of you. I'm feeling pretty good right now. This is David Bowie, 5 years.
Pushing through the market square, so many mothers sighing. News had just come over, we had 5 years left to cry in. News guy wept and told us Earth was really dying. Cried so much his face was wet, then I knew he was not lying. I heard telephones, opera house, favorite melodies, song, boys, toys, electric irons and TVs. A brain hurt like a warehouse, it had no room to spare. I had to cram so many things to store everything in there. And all the fat, skinny people, and all the tall, short people, and all the nobody people, and all the somebody people. I never thought I'd need so many people. Girl my age went off ahead, hit some tiny children. If the black hadn't pulled her off, I think she would have killed them. A soldier with a broken arm fixed his death to the wheels of a Cadillac. A cop knelt and kissed the feet of a priest, and the queer threw up the sight of that. I think I saw you in an ice cream parlor, drinking milkshakes cold and long, smiling and waving and looking so fine. Don't think you knew you were in the song. And it was cold and it rained, so I felt like an actor, and I thought
Jonesy, this is First Class, Beach Baby. Ah,
Jonesy.
15 seconds.
Ooh, they're counting down to my break. This is where they wheel me around. And they make me do things.
You're on channel 11 tonight, 10 to 11 p.m.
I'm on channel 11 tonight. What, 10 to 11 p.m. And an Eyewitness News, probably again. Oh, break time. Break time. We're going to hear NRBQ. Never take the place of you. I done that good, right?
I know she's got a big, long, shiny car. I know she's famous and she's a star. But there's one thing that she can never. Never take the place of you. I like the good times and I like the bread. But don't you worry, it won't go to my head. Cause there's one thing that she can never do. She'll never take the place of you. And though I'm very far away, you're always on my mind. In all this world, a girl like you is very hard to find. So tell me that you want me back, and I'll be cool. I didn't realize.
places that I've been today. Right there with you is where I want to stay. Cause there's one thing that she can never do. She'll never take the place of you. And though I'm very far away, you're always on my mind. In all this world, a girl like you is very hard to find. So tell me that you want me back, and I'll be cool. I didn't realize that I was breaking all the rules. Oh. You probably think that my memories of you will fade. But there's one thing that she can never do. She'll never take the place of you. No, she'll never take the place of you. No, she'll never take the place of you.
Never, never, never,
never.
NRBQ. It's Jim Price filling in for Glenn. He's taking a break. Going for the big record. The madman, Glenn Jones. Well, my time is up. I'd like to make way for Chris T. and the Puppet Show. Thank you for listening.
I'm Glenn Jones, and I'm dreaming. I dreamt I met Bobby Valentine in my dream. And Bobby Valentine told me I could have any box seat for any Mets game I wanted. Thank you, Bobby. Let me shake your hand. And I went on dreaming. I dreamed more and more. I dreamed I kept missing The Simpsons. But weren't The Simpsons preempted last night? Wasn't the Indy 500 on instead? Yes. Yes, I didn't miss The Simpsons. I haven't missed a single episode. And I don't want to miss one now. Does anyone know who won the Indy 500? Anybody? Did I win the Indy 500? Was I also driving a car in the last 3 days? I have no idea. I don't know what I'm doing here. I'm just going to keep going until I collapse. And then I'll sleep. I'll sleep the sleep of the just. That's right. Me, Glenn Jones, I'll sleep for days and days and days. And when I wake up, it'll be a whole different world. There'll be job offers and girls calling me and movie offers and a book deal and a trip to the Caribbean. And I'll take Bobby Valentine with me. Bobby, you're coming along. No problem. This guy I never liked, he's going. I used to eat way too much Count Chocolate when I was a kid. I keep asking for some now and they say eat healthy food. And I keep saying, I want Count Chocolate. He's my buddy. He's my pal. You're going to go to the Caribbean too, aren't you, Count? With me? Won't you? Won't you, pal? I'm bringing Bart. He's coming along. So tired. So tired, Santa. I'm so tired. What am I getting for Christmas this year? Something really good. I'm going to be in the Guinness Book of World Records, you bastard. Bobby's my only true friend. Bobby, what happened to you guys this year? What's the matter? How come no one can hit the high hard one? Am I the only one? I guess so. Put me on the team. Because after this weekend, I could do anything. I could hit the high hard one. You telling me I can't? I'm not taking you to the Caribbean. I turn my back on you. He's my new pal, Count Chocula. I love you, Count Chocula. I love you more than I can say. You remember me and you? All those Saturday mornings with cartoons? 3 or 4 bowls before I was done. My mommy would say, don't eat so much, Count Chocula. And I'd say, I'd love it. I love Count Chocula. I love you, Count. Come meet Bobby Valentine. Come over here. Whoa! Come over here and meet. Come meet Bobby. Bobby, I want you to meet a friend of mine. Hello! I'm Count Chocula. Who are you? Why, I'm Bobby Valentine, manager of the Mets. You mean to tell me you don't know who he is? Are you just plain stupid or something? Well, folks, now that I'm in the Guinness Book of World Records, and all my dreams are coming true, I can dream about Count Chocula and Bobby Valentine becoming friends, can't I? And Bart's in there somewhere, too. He rules over the whole thing somehow. I'm not sure. All right, I'm just going to wait here until I stop dreaming. And I'm going to keep playing records for you folks. Oh, Count! Count! What happened? So keep listening to 91.1 WFMU, East Orange, WXHD, Mount Hope, worldwide on the internet, WFMU.org. And I'll be right back with more music. Take it away, Jim Price. You're coming with me, Bobby.
I eat Aunt the pasta twice just because she is so nice, Angelina. Angelina, waitress at the pizzeria. I keep soup and minestrone just to be with her alone, Angelina. Angelina, waitress at the pizzeria. Ti voglio bene. Angelina, I adore you. Viva you bene,
viva you bene,
Angelina, I live for you. In passione, you have set my heart on fire. But Angelina, never listens to my song. I eat antipasto twice just because she is so nice, Angelina. Angelina, the waitress at the pizzeria. If she'll be a my cara mia, then I'll join in matrimony with the guy who serves spumoni, and Angelina will be mine. C'è la luna, mezza mare, mamma mia, mia madre. Figlia mia, cutterara, mamma mia, pesaccio tu. Zitto d'ogni alla musicante, idde vai, idde bene, sembra lo strumento in mano te. Zitto mia, vanno sì, lo strumento, figlia mia. Oh mamma, zumba, zumba, baccola. Oh mamma, zumba, zumba, baccola. Oh mamma, zumba, zumba, baccola. Zumba, 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 baccola. C'è la luna, mezzo mare, mamma mia, mamma mia. Figli mia, cutturara, mamma mia, ben faccio tu. Zitto non mia, pisciolo, idu va, idu bene, sempre baccola le mare dene. Zitto mia, fanno sia, baccola le mare dene. Oh, 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 mamma. Oh,
Himba,
Himba,
Uba,
Uba,
Oma,
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 Oma, Oma, Oma, Oma,
Oma,
Oma,
Oma,
Jonesy, I am back from break officially. Take a look at me. What I did on my break. First, I went downtown to look for a job, but I could not find one. Then I hung out in front of the bathroom. I washed myself with little moist towelettes, and I changed because sometimes a gentleman has to feel refreshed. So now I'm ready to go through through tomorrow and maybe into Knockem's show on Wednesday. Now, what is the name of that? David Bowie, Something in the Air.
Left with the words.
of our lives. Can't believe I'm asking you to go. We used what we could to get the things we want, but we lost each other on the way. I guess you know wanted anyone more than you. Lived all our best times, left with the worst. I've danced with you too long. Say what you will, there's something in something in the air. Something in my eye. I've danced with you too long. There's something I have to say. There's something in the air. Something.
Jonesy, that's a pretty David Bowie song.
Oh, did you? I'm sorry.
And here is Frank Sinatra, Come Dancing.
Hey there, cutes, put on your dancing boots and come dance with me. Come dance with me, what an evening for some terpsichore. Pretty face, I know a swinging place. Come on, dance with me. Romance with me on a crowded floor. And while the rhythm swings, what lovely things I'll be saying. 'Cause what is dancing but making love set to music playing. When the band begins to leave the stand and folks start to roam, as we waltz home cheek to cheek we'll be. Come on, come on, come on, come on and dance with me. Hey there, cutes, put on your bassy boots and come dance with me. Come dance with me, what an evening for some terpsichore. Pretty face, I know a swinging place. Come on, dance with me. Romance with me on a crowded floor. And while the rhythm swings, what cuckoo things I'll be saying. forward is dancing, making love set to music, playing when the band begins to leave the stand and folks start to roam. As we wing home, cheek to cheek we'll be. Come on, come on, come on. Come on, come on, come on. Come on and dance with me.
Jonesy!
Boy, that was fun. We danced. Here's Wilson Pickett. I'm not tired.
Where you lead me, you know I'll follow. Yes, I will.
Danny put a fork in my face with chicken on it. Good chicken. This is Elton John. I'm still standing.
I'm still standing.
never could have hoped to win. You're starting down the road, leaving me again. The threats you made were meant to cut me down. And if my love was just a circus, you'd be a clown by now. No, I'm still standing better than I ever did. Looking like a true survivor, feeling like a little kid. I'm still standing after all this time, picking up the pieces of my life without you on my mind. I'm still standing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'm still standing.
Simon and Garfunkel, Hazy Shade of Winter. The Pogues.
Johnny sang about a thing called
chicken. That's just a shot of chicken. Good. Hi. I stay up all night. Should I stay or should I go? The Clash.
Darling, you got to let me know. Should I stay or should I go? If you say that you are mine, I'll be here till the end of time. So you got to let me know. Should I stay or should I go? It's always tease, tease, tease. You're happy when I'm on my knees. One day it's fine and next it's black. So if you want me off your back, well come on and let me know. Should I stay or should I go? Should I stay or should I go now? Should I stay or should I go now? If I go, there will be trouble. And if I stay, it will be double. So come on and let me know. This indecision's bugging me. You don't want me, set me free. Exactly whom I'm supposed to be. Don't you know which clothes even fit me? Come on and let me know. Should I cool it or should I blow? Should I go now? Should I stay or should I go now? If I go, there will be trouble. And if I stay, it will be double. So you gotta let me know. Should I cool it or should I blow? Should I stay or should I go now?
This is Eddie Cochran, Nervous Breakdown.
I'm a having a nervous breakdown. A mental shakedown. I see my hands how they shiver. Woo! I see my knees how they quiver. My whole body's in a tether. I'm a having a nervous breakdown. Breakdown.
of another day.
I'm a having a nervous breakdown. I'm in a shakedown. I see my hands out of shiver.
I see my knees out of quiver.
My whole body's in a tether. I'm a having a nervous breakdown.
I'm still here. I ain't going anyplace. This is I Had Too Much to Dream Last Night by the Electric Prunes.
Shadow fell upon my lonely room. I touched your golden hair, tasted your perfume. Your eyes were filled with love the way they used to be. Your gentle hand reached out to comfort me.
Then came the dawn. You were gone, gone, gone. I had too much to drink last night. Too much to drink. I'm not ready to face the light. I had too much to drink. As I staggered from my bed, I could not bear the image racing through my head. You were so real that I could feel your eagerness. And when you raised your lips for me to kiss, came the dawn, and you were gone. Gone, gone, gone. I had too much to dream last night. Too much to dream. I'm not ready to fight for life. I had too much to dream last night. Last night. I had too much to dream last night. Too much to drink. I'm not ready to face the light. I had too much to drink. Last night. Last night. Oh, too much to drink. Oh, too much to drink. Too much to drink last night. Oh, too much to drink.
Get that off.
Walking After Midnight with Patsy Cline.
I go out walking after midnight, out in the moonlight, just like we used to do. I'm always walking after midnight, searching for you. I walk for miles along the highway. Well, that's just my way of saying I love you. I'm always walking after midnight, searching for you. I stop to see a weeping willow crying on his pillow. Maybe he's crying for me. And as the sky turns gloomy, night winds whisper to me, go out walking after midnight, out in the starlight, just like we used to do. I'm always walking after midnight, searching for you. I stopped to see a weeping willow crying on his pillow. Baby, he's crying for me. And as the sky turns gloomy, night winds whisper to me, I'm lonesome as I can be. I go out walking after midnight, out in the starlight, just hoping you may be somewhere a-walking after midnight, searching for me.
Don't go away, Patsy, honey. You done won.
Johnny. Johnny.
Yeah, call us three.
John, you got something called us three. Chili hot, just for you. You? And especially you.
What's so funny about peace, love, and understanding? Elvis Costello. This is Aretha Franklin, Baby Baby.
Thank you.
is Chug-A-Lug by Roger Miller.
Chug-a-lug, chug-a-lug, make you wanna holler, hidey-ho, burns your tummy, don't you know? Chug-a-lug, chug-a-lug, grape wine in a mason jar, homemade and brought to school by a friend of mine in after class. Me and him and this other fool decided we'll drink up what's left. Chug-a-lug, so I held myself, first time for everything. My ears still rang, chug-a-lug, chug-a-lug. Make you wanna holler, hidey-ho, burns your tummy, don't you know? Chug-a-lug, chug-a-lug, 4-H and FFA. On a field trip to the farm, me and a friend sneak off behind this big old barn where we uncovered this covered up moonshine still. And we thought we'd drink our fill. I swanered it with a smile. I run 10 miles, chug-a-lug, chug-a-lug. Make you want to holler, hidey-ho, burns your tummy, don't you know? Chug-a-lug, chug-a-lug, jukebox and sawdust floor. Something like I ain't never seen. Hitting just going on 15. But with the help of my finagling uncle, I get snuck in for my first taste of sin. Said, let me have a big old sip. I done a double backflip, chug-a-lug, chug-a-lug. If you wanna holler, hidey-ho, burns your tummy, don't you know? Chug-a-lug, 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 yeah.
Johnny, they nothing again. They can get you. You bet. Ken, can I stay up again?
If you want it, come and get it. Irma Thomas.
You ain't done nothing yet. Now it's a brand new deal. I could still fall in love with you, but there's something that you got to do. If you want it, come and get it. I ain't gonna bring it to you. If you need it, better hurry. You're all chasing after you. Now that crazy thing is ringing off the wall. Your closest friends are getting through. If you're gonna make your play, there's a price that you gotta pay.
Jonesy, this is Carter, the Unstoppable Sex Machine, with the Impossible Dream.
Unbeatable foe, to bear with unbearable sorrow, to run where the brave dare not go, to right the unrightable wrong, to love pure and chaste from afar, to try when your arms are too weary, to reach the unreachable star. This is my quest, to follow the star, no matter how. No matter how far, to fight for the right, without question or pause, to be willing to pass into hell for a heavenly cause. And I know, if I'll only be true to the glorious quest, that my heart lies peaceful and calm when I'm laid to my rest. And the world will be better for you. That one man, scorned and covered with scars, still strong with his last ounce of courage to reach
Tom Jones, Lust for Life. WFMU East Orange, WXHD Mount Hope Worldwide. On the web, www.wfmu.org. And I have been here since 9 a.m. on May 25th. Tom Jones. Jonesy. Glenn Jones radio program with the big clock on it. Jonesy's been up since Friday. And maybe I'll stay up until next Friday.
Amen.
I'm like the guest who never left. Every time you turn your radio on, I'm there. Dizzy Gillespie, Swing Low, Sweet Cadillac.
what did I see?
Jonesy. This one here is a shotgun. Don't you want to make love?
Don't you want to make
Jonesy. Wake up, little Jonesy. This here is the Everly Brothers. Wake up, little Susie.
Wake up, little Susie, wake up. Wake up, little Susie, wake up. Tell our friends when they say, ooh la la, wake up, pretty Susie, wake up, pretty Susie. Well, I told you, Mama, that you'd be in by 10. Well, Susie, baby, looks like we goofed again. Wake up, pretty Susie, wake up, pretty Susie. We gotta go home. Wake up, little Susie, wake up. The movie wasn't so hot, it didn't have much of a plot. We fell asleep by Goose's cooked, our reputation he shot. Wake up, little Susie, wake up, little Susie. Well, what are we gonna tell your mama? What are we gonna tell your pop? Tell our friends when they say, ooh la la, wake up, pretty Susie. Wake up, pretty Susie. Wake up, pretty Susie.
Jonesy. This is I Forgot to Remember to Forget, befittingly, by Elvis Presley.
I forgot to remember to forget her. I can't seem to get her off my mind. I thought I'd never miss her, but I found out somehow. I think about her almost all the time. The day she went away, I made myself a promise that I'd soon forget where and. But something sure is wrong, 'cause I'm so blue and lonely, I forgot to remember to forget. Went away, I made myself a promise that I'd soon forget where I've met. Well, but something sure is wrong, 'cause I'm the blue and lonely, I forgot to remember to forget.
Jonesy, I'm still up.
This here is the Campbell Brothers with I Feel Good. Jonesy, still up after all these days. This is Charles Wright. I'm a Midnight Mover.
Trust in me. fool, y'all. Be a midnight groove. I'ma keep on moving till I groove it. Got to keep on moving. Woo! Moving and grooving. All right. Got to move.
Glenn Jones still standing here at 10:25 on Monday, having started at 9 a.m. on Friday. Would be nice to at least make it to after midnight, because that's an extra day. It looks more impressive and when, as far as dates are concerned, because it has an extra date, even though it's only an extra hour. And this is Daz by Brick.
Okay.
Jonesy here. The last man standing, still standing, at 10:32 on Monday evening. And this is AC/DC, Hell's Bells.
Thank you.
Jonesy lost a couple miles off his fastball here in the 84th hour. We have on the phone with us Penn Jillette.
Yep.
Penn Jillette, how are you?
I've never been better, boss. How are you? I'm a little tired.
Yeah, did you rest well last night?
I rested pretty well last night. Had a nice night's sleep, but you know, I've been up 8 or 9 hours now before going to work, and I start getting a little bit dozy, you know?
You feel like taking a nap.
Yeah, a little bit. Just a little bit of a nap before I go on, because, you know, I talk for an hour and a half in the show here in Vegas, and you want to be well-rested for that.
I understand. I understand entirely.
That talking on the air. How long you done now, man?
Like 84 hours.
84 hours, and how you going? Feeling good?
I'm in one of those lows right now. You ebb and you flow. You have peaks and valleys, and you always come out of the low, and you have energy later, but you have to fight the lows.
So you're fighting the low right now?
Yeah.
What can I do to help you, brother?
Entertain me.
What do you want to know about Penn and Teller? I'll tell you anything.
Well, what was your most physically challenging stunt?
The most physically challenging stunt that I do is a thing called the barrel, which is based on a thing they do with a carny, where a woman squeezes into this little tiny barrel, and they throw swords through all the way. And then during the end of the carny bit in the carnival, they let people come up for a quarter apiece and take a peek in to see how she's wrapped around the amazing rubber girl. And in our show, we do the amazing rubber boy. And then during intermission, we let the audience come up and see me wrapped in this position in the barrel, unable to move. And whereas the women in the carny, who are usually, you know, 19-year-old runaways with drug problems, only have to be in there for maybe a minute, 2 minutes, because we have, you know, a couple thousand people in our audiences, I'm in there for like 15.
Right.
Yeah.
I just interjected there.
I know, you did a fine job interjecting. And I'm in there for 15 minutes. So every night of the show, I sit unable to move in a little tiny dark barrel with swords all around me for about 16 minutes. And that's pretty physical.
Everybody files by one at a time?
Yeah, they file by and look in like some sort of freak show.
Oh, my.
And
that's quite interactive.
What's that?
That's quite interactive to have your audience come up and stare at you in the barrel.
Yeah, I found the one problem, besides the fact that my knees go bad and my ankles go bad, is the fact that a lot of people come to the theater right after dinner, and they lean over into this barrel, and they breathe in this huge amount of garlic. So what I do is I myself have the crew give me like 4 big sticks of very powerful gum, and I chew that and then kind of blow the spearmint up into my own nose. So I can smell the spearmint gum from my own breath instead of the garlic from the wonderful men and women that come to see our show after patronizing the wonderful Italian restaurant.
So you use a mint technique. Do you charge the audience any extra to come look at you in the barrel?
Yes, they have to pay a quarter. We wouldn't do that for free. This
a
is
quarter?
An added attraction. One quarter.
One quarter.
Quarter of $1, 25 cents.
It doesn't seem like very much.
It's not very much, but it's the idea. You know, I think it makes it so much more carny to actually make them pull out the quarters.
Yes, that's true.
And we give all that money to charity. Well, not all the money. First, I take, you know, all the bills we've gotten change from and give that to strippers and lap dancers with me and the crew.
So it's
because
that's
our way of supporting the arts. Because when you give money to a lap dancer or a stripper, that's going directly to a guitar player in that local hometown.
So it's kind it's kind of a way of collecting money from the audience and filtering some through to yourself.
Yeah, to ourselves.
That
yes,
no,
exactly.
Nobody ever has to know about. Now that Times Square has changed here in New York so much, where do you still go to the theater once a week when you're in town?
Well, when I'm in town, I go every Friday night to movie night. We meet at Howard Johnson.
Right.
But now I live out in Las Vegas, Nevada, because if you don't drink and you don't gamble, it's a cheap holiday in other people's misery. You know, our living out here is funded by bad math. You know, we don't have any taxes, and it's a really great place to live. But I still go see my friends in New York, and Friday night we go to movie night. But it's just not the same without the deuce. You know, ever since Disney bought Times Square, it's been a little less fun.
Yeah, I've always heard about your infamous nights where you would meet at Hojo's, and then people would go and throw juju bees at the screen and such.
Well, stuff like that. Yeah, we could be a bit on the rowdy side.
Mm-hmm. Do you hold any records yourself?
I was part of of getting the, with a friend, I was part of getting the world's record for playing ping pong continuously for, I think, 60-something hours or something. And then before it got into the book, this is when I was 17, we were beaten by some other team somewhere else.
Ooh.
We never actually appeared in print. And for a while, I was Michael Motion, who's a wonderful juggler. He won the MacArthur Grant for juggling. Michael Motion and I think, were the first juggling team to pass 9 clubs. But before we actually got that with the wonderful Guinness people and made it official, I started working with Teller and doing this kind of show. And now the world's record for juggling clubs is 11. So in 1975, we could have had it at 9. But in 2001, it'll cost you 11 clubs. And I've heard that some people are starting to do 12, but they haven't done it well enough to get in the record book yet.
Were you actually pursuing getting into the record book?
No, we just wanted to do 9 clubs because no one had done it before.
Mm-hmm.
And we looked into it a little bit after we'd learned to do it. But, you know, this is a process that we were working on for, you know, 10 years. So it wasn't, you know, it was just like, oh, we can do this now, let's see. But I was working with Teller then. Michael and I never did 9 clubs. And I've only really done 8. And working with the team that's got the world's record for 11, the Passing Zone, Owen Morris and John Wee, I have passed 9 clubs since then, but just briefly. Yeah.
Uh-huh. I'm told you can tell us about Houdini's record for holding his breath.
Well, yeah, Teller in our show holds his breath for more than Houdini's record, which is like 5 minutes and 35 seconds. He held his breath, and Teller goes longer, but many people believe, including me, that we're cheating on that one.
There was cheating on that one.
I think there might be a lot of cheating, at least on Penn and Teller's part.
Our station manager here could do 226. We dunked his head during the marathon.
Did you? For how long?
I didn't dunk his head, but his co-host did, and he did 2 minutes and 26 seconds, and he didn't even practice.
Boy, that's pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
226 is amazing. Was he sucking air bad when he came back up?
No, not at all.
We should have gone for the full 5 or 6 minutes or something. You know, if you hyperventilate with pure oxygen, you can go a tad longer.
Mm-hmm.
Now, are the rules include, I mean, are you drinking a lot of Joe and stuff? Are you on some sort of trucker speed, or are you doing this sober?
I mostly did it sober. After 36 hours, I started drinking coffee, and that was my I figured I didn't need it before that, and that carried me through a big part of it. It goes through cycles. You apparently used to stay up for massive amounts of time.
I used to all the time when I was younger. We were working and touring and stuff. But I never really went past 40 hours, and you're over double that.
Right.
You know, I think, you know, a lot of people, especially in show business, will do. I don't drink any drugs or even caffeine. So,
mm-hmm.
As you said, 36 hours is about that. And what do they allow you? What are you allowed to do? Are you allowed to drink as much coffee as you want?
Yeah, they don't say anything about that. They have all these other silly rules, but they don't say anything about coffee intake or taking anything else. You can, you know, it doesn't say you can't take anything at all.
Wow!
But I actually did it straight, which is unusual for me.
and have you tried this before? Or is this your first time?
You know, I answered this. I'm obese, and I'm a heavy smoker, and I drink every night. And I answered this with no training whatsoever, and just thought I really wanted to do it, and I've actually made it far enough to break the record this morning, and then at that point we figured I would continue to go.
Well, you know, the problem is if you break the record by a lot, then the next poor schmuck who breaks the record has to go longer, and then if you want to get it back, you actually have to go longer. If you're really a mensch about it, you'd break the record by like a minute. The next guy would by a minute, and then it wouldn't be that bad for you next time around.
I don't know if there's going to be a next time kind of thing, you know? I don't know if it's something you do more than once. It would lose its luster.
What was the record before?
It was 73 hours and 33 minutes.
Wow. That's really good. You've been on the air. Do you have a strong support staff?
Yeah, absolutely. The support staff feeds me. They walk me around, and during my breaks they lead me out and let me have air. They treat me like a baby, actually. It's perfect. I'm actually growing to like it. and I'm having the time of my life. I get very sometimes I get very lucid when I'm on the air, and it's a whole lot of fun. I'm doing a whole different kind of radio because of it. I'm an hour 86 actually.
You're what?
I'm actually an hour 86.
86, Jesus Christ, that's amazing.
I wanted
and
to.
And have you had any hallucinations?
No, I've heard about hallucinations, but I haven't. But I did have a strange feeling a couple of hours ago. It did seem like I was on something.
You know, because Michael Shermer, who's the head of the skeptics out of Caltech, you know, kind of the Ghostbusters and uh-huh. all the ESP stuff, he used to be part of this, I forget what it's called, but this cross-country bicycle race where they do it in one shot all the way across the country. And I believe he won or came in second 1 or 2 years. He did it several years. And he said that when he had been going, like, whatever it was, you know, 70, 80 hours without a break riding a bicycle, he was abducted by aliens and taken to a ship. And it turned out that during that time that he was abducted by aliens, his crew remembers him fighting and running across a field to try to get away from them as they forced him back onto the bicycle.
The aliens just wouldn't let him go.
Yeah, exactly. So the microphone has not come alive and grabbed your face or anything.
Mm-hmm. Nothing like that at all, actually. So I'm kind of disappointed because everyone kept telling me, like, okay, you're okay now, but just wait till tomorrow when the hallucinations set in.
And how long are you planning on doing?
I wanted to go till at least to noon tomorrow. I'd like to go even further if possible. For one reason, I've been having the time of my life, and much of the radio we've been doing has been amongst the best I've ever done in my life.
Wow. Is that a hallucination, perhaps?
That might be a hallucination. Yeah.
And how long are you allowed to play in a song?
A song has to be between 2 and 6 minutes.
So you have those 4 or 5 minute breaks. And can you, if you want, sleep for like 3 minutes during those breaks or something?
Yeah, I guess you could, but then you have to be sure you can get back up again. And I don't know if that's such a good idea to take little naps or not.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know anything about it.
I mean, there were times when I was falling off where my head was actually falling into my chest. And we have a webcam in the room so people can log on and stare at me. And people would actually call up and tell me, like, what the hell's wrong with you? Get up, you know?
What have you been eating? You been eating good food?
I haven't been eating much at all. I've been eating lightly and mostly meats and stuff. And that's about it.
Wow.
A little fruit here and there.
This is a great thing. This is a great thing you're doing. This is wonderful.
It's a fun thing. It doesn't mean anything, you know, but it's a lot of fun.
Sure. Why not? Is it some sort of fun drive? Are you like pimping the station?
No, not at all. We're not doing it for money at all. I'm a volunteer at the station, and it's a public station, so there's no money involved.
So are the other jocks who were supposed to have shifts, or they come in during their shifts and cheer you on, or are you just been there?
Sometimes, but there's always a couple of jocks there with me who help me through. And they'll, you know, do anything you need, pretty much.
Are the Guinness people right there watching you?
No, they make you provide witnesses. They make you prove to them that you did it. They don't come out and look at you. They make you provide paperwork, witnesses, press, media coverage, that sort of thing.
And what's the best moment? What's the best thing that's happened so far in hour 86?
In hour 86, interviewing Penn Jillette, of course.
No, I mean, but in the whole time, in 86 hours, what's the best thing that's
interviewing
happened?
Penn Jillette, of course.
Oh, well, thank you so much. That's so kind. So what else can I do? What do you want to hear about?
Well, tell me about the latest show.
Okay, we're just rehearsing a new bit, but one of the things you do in the show, do you know about the bullet catch?
Well, I know there was the guy who did the bullet catch on Wonder World of Sports many years ago.
Yeah. Well, the bullet catch is a trick that goes back a couple hundred years by Aboriginal Americans, American Indians, and which, of course, is a joke in itself. They decide to catch bullets from the settlers. A really pure American trick, and usually break it down in 12 magicians and 2 carnies have lost their lives doing this trick.
Really? So it's legit. There's a bullet fired at them.
Well, no, it's not legit. It's a trick, but it's a trick that still is dealing with loaded guns and signed bullets, so people still die. And I thought maybe to cheer you up, I would tell you a few of the ways that people died. One of my favorites was a guy who worked in the in the New West in the, I guess, the 19th century.
Uh-huh.
And he did a little medicine show, and he would end with a bullet being signed, put into a gun, and being shot. Before he even got to that, a guy stood up in the audience and said, "Hey, catch this," and shot him in the face.
Really? Wow.
Yeah. So, which is why Teller and I are so careful when walking along the street, when people yell out, "Hey, can you guys do the bullet catch?" to throw our arms in the air and yell, "No, no, it's a trick! It's a trick! Trick! Can't do that!" And another guy, Chung Ling Soo, was the most famous who did it, and he was killed on stage. Chung Ling Soo was a Scottish magician, because at the early part of the 20th century, it was very popular to claim to be Asian if you were a magician. And he was shot in the face and killed on stage. And Houdini announced that in tribute to him, Houdini would duplicate the trick and then back down. It's the only trick that Houdini ever chickened out of. And I wouldn't use the phrase "chicken out of" except that Houdini's dead. So I feel safe in that way.
Mm-hmm.
But he was... Houdini never actually did the bullet catch. And I've always wondered, you know, when Chung Ling Soo did it, it was a sold-out show in London.
Right.
And so he had, you know, 2,000 witnesses. And it was a guy.
I got to say more to you.
You better.
That was the best I could come up with in this low.
Okay.
Can you continue, please?
Okay, sure. I always wondered, because the guy from the audience that signs the bullet, loads it, and shoots the gun. And I always wondered if the London police came in after the guy was shot and said, "Okay, let me get this straight. You came up on stage for the 2,000 people, you signed the bullet, loaded it into the weapon, pointed it at Chung Ling Soo's face, pulled the trigger, and shot him dead. Is that correct?" "Yes, sir." "Okay, you can go. But, I don't know exactly what the legality is if one of the people from the audience shoots us in the face." And my other favorite was a magician who would use his wand as a ramrod. And, his magic wand,
right?
He would use as a ramrod. It's much like you use your wand as a ramrod. And
I use my ramrod as a wand.
Exactly. He had this ivory-tipped wand that had a little piece of magician's wax on the end, which, of course, magician's wax is wax. And he would tamp down the bullet with his wand, and then pull it out, flip it out in his hand, so he actually felt the bullet in his hand, so he couldn't be hurt, and then tamp it down with the other side and pull it out so the audience could see there was nothing on that end of the wand. One night he was doing the trick, he pulled the ball out, felt it in his hand, then stuck the other end of the wand in, and unbeknownst to him, broke the ivory tip off inside the gun and was shot in the face with the end of his own wand.
Ooh.
And killed.
So he shot himself with a wand.
Shot with his own wand, yes.
That sounds like a hideous way to go.
Yeah, well, it's certainly poetic. It's a better way for a novel than it is for reality, I think.
Do you work much with the weaponry?
Well, we do. We do the double bullet catch, where Teller and I each have guns.
You shoot each other?
Examined, yes, we shoot each other, and they're examined by the audience, and we fire the bullets. We do that every night, and ask to see if we can get policemen or military men and women to check the weapons. So we're the only ones doing it in the world today, as far as I know.
Do you still, during intermission, run out in front of the lobby and hawk your own merchandise?
Yeah, we do. After the show, we're always out there selling our own stuff. I just thought, you know, when we first started out, we'd play these little theaters, and there was no real backstage. And we had T-shirts and concessions, and figured it was just as easy for us to sell them as to find someone else to sell them.
Well, plus, it's a lot more fun for the people, too.
It's a lot more fun for the people, and also it's a lot more profitable, which is the more important one.
Mm-hmm.
And we just, when we got, you know, playing Broadway and stuff, we just kind of didn't stop that. I always thought that if the whole audience was out in the lobby and I was backstage, I was missing the fun, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So we try to do that. Does the count?
I don't know. I keep saying mm-hmm. I'm told no. I'm told it doesn't count.
Right. So you have to actually say something.
Yeah.
Substance.
But I just did say something now. So it's okay.
So now you're okay. So do you work in radio, or you're just a volunteer there?
I also work in radio during the day, my day job. So, I've been working in radio in one way or the other most of my life.
Uh-huh. And always on air, or you're an engineer?
I try to be on air as much as possible, but most of my paying jobs. See, I've got this thing with my mouth now from the lack of sleep where I keep slurring. And I'm not actually drunk, but it bothers me. Anyway, most of my paying jobs have been behind the scenes, that sort of thing.
What kind of music you play?
A mixture of everything from old pop, 60s pop hits, 70s hits, the hits of the new wave era, punk hits. You know, I'm big on popular music of all choices, and I blend them together in a strange way. A lot of Frank Sinatra. You'll hear Frank Sinatra going into Bob Marley, for example.
Oh, that's good. I've always thought that was the big change. You know, if someone came back from the 60s to our new millennium here and listened to the radio, I think it would shock them the most is the fact that it's all been broken down into these really tight little demographics. And you have, you know, you don't even have one kind of country western. It's all broken down to contemporary and stuff. And I used to think that back, you know, you hear tapes of the 60s and stuff, they would put, you know, James Brown, the Beatles, and that just wouldn't be done now.
Yeah, that used to be, you know, the charts were all one chart, and whatever sold. So you'd have Frank Sinatra selling, you know, on the same chart as some hard rock group, as some Motown group. I mean, it made for great radio musically, I thought.
You know the band NRBQ?
Yeah, I love them.
Yeah, well, they're just, I mean, they're the live version of that to me. You know, they just did a VH1 that I hosted, you know, we talked to the NRBQ guys. It's just great how they'll do, you know, Sun Ra, followed by Sinatra, followed by Carl Perkins.
Yeah, they do some really interesting covers. Do they do a Village People cover now?
I saw them when they used to do the Magic Box, where the Magic Box would just be any song that people wrote in. They'd put it in a box, and they'd reach in and pull one out and play it, whatever it was. And I actually saw them one night when they pulled out of the box YMCA.
And they did it.
They sure did, although Terry had slightly different lyrics for it.
I understand.
How many?
Go ahead.
Say again?
Please go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I wanted to get your at least please go ahead thing so that you get your, so it starts the clock again, you know?
Well, let me start again then. Please,
go ahead.
Please continue.
Okay. So, you know, BQs would do North to Alaska, and, you know, weird little, they're doing that Paris song now, which who knows what that's from, some goofy movie, and it's just seeing them when they were taping this VH1 special was great because it was a small group of people and they were doing like two full long sets, and it was just terrific. How many times have you seen the BQs?
I only saw them once, actually. I saw them last year on the Blues Cruise.
Huh?
I saw them last year on the Blues Cruise, so I've only seen them once, but I have played their albums many times on the air. Going back to when I first started at my current station in the mid-80s and such.
Oh, yeah, they're great. I've seen them about 50 times.
Mm.
I'm a big BQ fan. And if you were following all the 70s and 80s stuff, you must have been talking about that the tribute to Joey Ramone they did.
I went there, yeah.
You were at the tribute?
Yeah, I was there.
How cool. What did Debbie do? I Want to Be Your Boyfriend.
Yeah, I thought that was the highlight of the night because that was something really special that you were seeing that was only going to exist there, you know. I thought Blondie was the best performance of the whole evening.
Oh, did all of Blondie play?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, wow. I just saw one quick clip on CNN or something. I didn't know it was all of Blondie. I thought it was just Debbie in front of a pickup band.
No, it was Blondie. It was The Damned. It was most of Cheap Trick, but it didn't strike me as the entire Cheap Trick show, and Bunny wasn't there. And then, you know, a couple other bands, a couple of hardcore bands, Band Bellevue, and so on. And Steven Van Zandt hosted the evening.
And what else did Debbie do besides I Want to Be Your Boyfriend?
It was a couple of weeks ago, and it escapes me now, but it was...
Dreamin'.
She did Dreamin'. What else was there, Greg? Says Greg.
Okay. I'll ask you a harder question. I just saw a quick glimpse of it. What did her T-shirt say?
I don't know.
Okay.
Yeah,
I saw she was wearing some T-shirt. I thought. I was trying to keep your mind limber.
He
thinking.
He says one way or another.
Yeah.
Oh, that's all it said?
Yeah.
Okay, I saw that. So it was a great show. Where'd they hold it?
At Hammerstein.
Oh, yeah, cool. Cool. So what else you seen recently? Who else you seen good?
Who did I see recently? Psychedelic Furs I thought were great.
Oh, great. Cool.
I saw a group called Satanicide, which plays in the played in the East Village. And they were fabulous. They did a Spinal Tap thing. And these guys were regular comedians, yet they could really play. They could really play, and they did a metal type of thing. But it was clearly right at a Spinal Tap. And I thought they were great. But they're, you know, completely unknown. I'm sure you wouldn't have heard of them. You don't
I haven't.
You don't live in the city anymore?
No, I live in Las Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
But I get to New York pretty often.
Is it because you play Vegas so many times during the course of a year?
Yeah, it's also because it's cheap here, and also, you know, in New York, it was so expensive to have to rehearse things and do stuff like that. We have to get, you know, performance space and all of this other stuff. Whereas out here, everything's so cheap and spread out, we can have a big rehearsal space and a lot more room to be able to work on stuff.
What made you become a twisted magician?
A twisted magician. I think it was never any other choice. I hated magic so much. You know, it was, the magic was just a greasy guy in a tux with a lot of birds torturing women in front of a Mylar curtain to Bad Small Dick White Boy rip-off Motown music. And I didn't want to do that. I wanted to do something else. When I first met Teller was the one who told me that that magic could include automatically irony. And we didn't want to do that usual condescending thing. You know, as Jerry Seinfeld says, all magic acts are, here's, now it's gone, you're a jerk, now it's back, you're an idiot, show's over. And we wanted to try to bring a little more depth to it, and along with the intellectual quality, so threw in a little bit of blood.
Yes, you've taken it further and further over the years.
We try, yeah.
Did you really piss off Letterman and release those roaches?
Yeah, we what happened on Letterman was we were on the show once, and we splattered blood all over his face, and he was kind of freaked out. And he said to us after the show, you know, I come off as kind of a jerk sometimes. Why don't you hit me as hard as you can the next time you come on the show? Just be as rough as you can. And we said, okay. We went away, and Teller thought of the idea of dumping 1,000 cockroaches essentially in his lap. And we called up his producer, who was Morty at the time, and said, we're going to dump cockroaches on David Letterman. And he said, no, you can't do that. We said, well, tell Dave. And he went and told Dave, and Dave said, I don't care what Penn and Teller do. I want them to be able to do whatever they want, and don't tell me about it.
I bet he was sorry he said that.
Well, this is where it goes. And so we did the whole rehearsal, and it was